that have been just picked out of the lottery and sued. One guy has been sued because he was running a web server and somebody had patented some kind of method of sending data over the internet. And he was.
Yeah.
He's now also. Thank you for your time.
Sorry for shortening this. I was just thinking, it's probably like the big political subjects, these things, so what everybody says is very similar. So if there are any more this kind of self-introductions, it would be more interesting to focus on what experience you exactly have had in your business. So you said you have been researching for 3 months in order to find out whether you're allowed to continue programming your OS 2, was that it?
Well, the main point is I was stuck in the JPEG patent. And that's also that
did somebody approach you and say you should pay something?
No, that's the whole problem. I did it all very carefully. And the problem is, I'm not going to step up the fortune and say, hey, I've got a JPEG patent, I've got something with JPEG patent, and I may be infringing your patent. I'm not going to step up to them and say, hey, sue me. Because as soon as another important question.
Yes, I know, but
when you step up to a patent holder,
don't dare to ask, so you mean you're afraid you might be infringing, but you don't want to ask anybody?
That's also a problem. If you're an honest businessman, you want to stick to the rules, and you approach somebody, what is there for legal guidelines? I mean, then they can suddenly say, hey, you're coming to us? Oh, well, good. Well, this is what you need to pay. There are no conditions about how you can license it. They can set terms.
Stay out of harm's way. It creates great legal insecurity.
Yeah, but just by approaching a party, you can already set yourself on fire.
I'm just thinking I don't want to open a big can for a discussion hour. It would be better than start a real panel or have short self-introductions. I think we would, I don't know if that's okay, or should we start with the speech of John Paul about how to, well, I titled it, I don't know if it was a good title, virtual transaction, generating virtual transactions with virtual inventions. Or how software patents help companies. If you're saying how software patents help companies, well, going on course, I would be delighted to read it up here, but then save taxes.
Maybe this is something that cuts.
And the question here is, I think the here in the subject we have, on the one hand, it is delighting people, that the prospect that you all as software entrepreneurs have the chance of perhaps acquiring a few patents and saving taxes. Something that makes some people happy, but it's for small companies it may be more difficult than for big companies. I think the big interesting question is, to what extent are big companies actually doing that? To what extent is that actually a motivating force? For example, for that pile of paper which Mrs. McCarthy or just employee or also have on her table, which says, patent
competition, eventually on industry structure, whether that will be better for big companies or for small companies. And sometimes people consider the effects of software patents, the side effects of software patents. For example, having many software patents creates a nice economy for patent attorneys and lawyers and increases the know-how on managing lawsuits or disputes in that area. And a country which has a long history of dealing with software patents will be more competitive in the area of managing disputes than a young comer to the software patent world. So these are the traditional ways to consider economy and software patents. And those approaches tend to think about a general goodness or a general impact on society. The big problem is that society does not exist as a decision-making person. So that's very interesting from a scientific point of view, but society, from my point of view, does not exist, because society does not really make decisions. People make decisions that can be the head of the IP departments of large companies, or that can be managers of the fiscal administration. So today I want to consider the software patent issue from the point of view somebody working in the fiscal administration. What is the consequence of having more software patents? Will I collect more taxes or will I collect less taxes afterwards? That's the point of view. Forget about general goodness, economy growth, innovation. That's not the point today. The point is, will software patents allow to collect more taxes or less taxes? I'm not anymore a civil servant, but if I had been a civil servant, I would probably have thought somehow that way. If you want to, that's a little bit of provocation to say, will I collect more taxes or less taxes? A more constructive way would be, will I use the taxpayer's money the right way or not? Or will the taxpayer pay taxes for a right purpose? But let's go back really to the simple thing. Will I collect more taxes or less taxes? So when we consider taxes, there is the money we collect from your income tax you pay every year, for example. There is the money There's the money which is spent by the administration, like to pay a patent examiner to examine a patent. And there are subventions. When we give money to companies, that's like using taxpayers' money. So that's the thing we talk about today. Oh, sorry. So one professor called Lévesque and two students called Dupuis and Tardieu wrote one of the first paper I know of, I'm sure there are others which were written before, about the economy of a patent office. If I'm the head of a patent office in a world without software patents, there are people like Mr. Smedsby who send software patents with 35 euros, that's how much it costs in France, and I have to pay some examination person 2,000 euros to write a letter to Mr. Smet to tell him sorry, software is not patentable. So there is a loss of 1,965 euros. If there are software patents, well, Mr. Smet will pay every year maybe 100 or 200 euros during 20 years. And I will have paid the examiner 2,000 euros. So the patent office in the second case makes a profit. That's a general thing which is quite well known. The patent office make profits when they grant patents, and they lose money when they reject patents. And the patent office is currently nearly considered as a subsidiary of the Ministry of Finance. That means the civil servant in charge of patents are very happy when the patent office can pay its employees by itself through its patent fees it collects to everybody. So I think another study which was in that area where it was done was by Philippe Ecrin, the European Commission, which concluded that like the European Patent Office was self-financing itself and had a growth in terms of budget, which was I think 2% every year, and no other public administration has such a tremendous growth. Sorry? I can't say more on that. Ask Philippe Grau. It's not the main issue of the book. But that's one way people have looked at. So today we will look at things a little bit differently. So I prefer really questions at the end. That's the first time I do it. So the first thing to know is what is an asset, and to know how we account assets in a company. So a factory, the building of a factory can be considered as an asset. A machine can be an asset. The stock we have can be considered as an asset. That's a tangible asset. It's a material good. And there are intangible assets, so I think the stock in another company, or a patent, or a trademark, or a copyright, these are intangible assets. We can trade stock, we can trade patents, and a company which has so many patents is considered to have maybe a large value because there's a large value of the asset is quite high. Maybe an internet domain name is an asset, but I sometimes have difficulties to convince my accountant that it is. An employment contract? Is that compatible with the end of slavery? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Know-how? That's very hard to formalize. That's an asset, of course, in a company, but from an accounting point of view, who knows? And secret, the fact of keeping something secret, so it's probably also an asset, but accountingly speaking, not at all, I think. So first thing, what happens, so let's talk about assets. My company buys a machine today which costs 100,000 euros. What is the consequence on my profits? Can you answer? Yes? Very good. So nothing. That's nothing immediately. So I buy my one, and I acquire a machine which is 100,000 euros. The consequences on my profit is nothing. That was a short reminder. Now let's compare copyright and patent. When we talk about patent, I have no problem to convince my accountant that it is a serious asset. She knows where to put it in the accounting as a number of account. It's really easy. If I say patent, she knows it's an asset, she puts it at the right number in the accounting software. And also that asset will lose value quite quickly, between 7 and 20. If I consider the same thing for copyright, I have some difficulties to convince her that it is an asset. So what will happen is she will spend time and money to ask the right person how she should deal with the copyright work in terms of assets. It's non-ending question. Well, it's very impractical. She doesn't always know which account number to assign it to, and she doesn't know how fast it loses value. So, if we compared also the fiscality of copyright and patent, for copyright, that's different. If I do R&D, if I pay some guy to do R&D, I can put all his costs as an investment, which becomes an asset. That's very easy. I have to convince my accountant. Also, when there are transactions on patents between two companies, the income tax which will be generated by the transaction will be different from the usual income tax. So the added value in a patent transaction can benefit from quite interesting fiscal exemptions. And also, the revenues of patent royalties in some countries is zero. So these are the three main differences. So, let's keep on what happens when I pay one person during 1 year to create a patent. What happens on my profits? So, it's the same as with a machine. Nothing. So if I pay one guy 100,000 euros during 1 year, and if I say this is R&D which generates a patent which is an asset, so I lose nothing. If I pay one person to prepare coffee for me every day, I lose 100,000 euros. If I pay one person during 1 year to write software, copyrighted works, so I probably lose 100,000, except if I really have a good accountant, which, and that depends the country, so it's not that easy. So the question, if I pay one guy during a year for 100,000 euros to develop a new patented technology, prepare coffee for me sometimes, and also write software, what is the consequence of my profits? What? Sorry? Yeah. But I can also think that his main task was really to do coffee or anyway.
You can, for accountants, look at those figures. He's telling you with accounting technology the whole time.
Well, no. So I will explain to my accountant that he was doing a 10-20% of coffees, 50% of software, and 10% of patents, and I can get the value I want. Okay, so I will review the reminder two. So reminder two, I pay one guy to develop the patent for 1 year. That has no consequences on my profit. I pay a man or woman to prepare coffee for a year, and that has the consequence as a 100,000 euro loss. And now number three, I ask him or her to do copyrighted works, and it has a consequence as a 100,000 loss, probably. So if I pay that, again, the same person to do a mixture of the three, it has an undetermined consequence on my profit or losses. So that's the basic thing to look at. When we write software, we invent and we create original works. And I really can't say what is the share between the two. And if I combine that, for example, with services, like providing services to other companies, then really I can say anything I want to my accountant. So here are the applications. During bad times, all my personnel will do a lot of research and development, and I will file many patents, and that will reduce my corporate losses. And when times become better, my pay merger and acquisition, that I learned it through like real accountants who did a big merger and acquisition in Europe between two electronic giants, and she explained to me that she was so happy she could use so many software patents to reduce, to benefit from special fiscal conditions on the added value generated by the merger and acquisition. But she was worried about the value of such patents, but she preferred not to think about it. And the last case is that profits export, that traditional thing which most big companies do in underdeveloped countries. One usual trick is called management fees. Huge. When you have a subsidiary in Indonesia, for example, first of all, it's not a subsidiary, it's someone whose name you use because you're not allowed to create a non-Indonesian company in Indonesia. That's business as usual. And second point, after that, you charge to your fake subsidiary something called a management fee. It's you are helping the subsidiary to better manage itself. And that allows to grab the profits out of Indonesia and take them back to wherever is the headquarter. The problem is with management fees is that it doesn't sound always so good. Like recently there was another trick, like if you are the board of a large company, rather than the way to take the profits out of the stockholders and give them to the board of the company, is have the board of the company manage some kind of company, for example, in Switzerland, which will be to have a contract with the multinational company. And under that contract, the Swiss very small consulting company does management for the big multinational company. And all the profits then are evaded to Swiss as management fees. That was done in Europe a few years ago in a very famous European company and allowed it, really allows to rip the small stockholders from any profits that the company would make, and then transferring that to the board of the large company. So that's kind of a consulting company. So these are standard techniques, but their problems is that they don't smell so good, whereas patents smell good. And exporting profits as patent royalties is something which will generate much less questions from the fiscal administration. So the techniques in that area are one, to have a headquarters in Ireland, because Ireland provides 0% total exemption on patent profits, except on the profits which are generated in the United States, because there is a special convention between Ireland and the US which does not allow to use this exemption for US profits. So that's why US companies have a great interest to have their headquarters in Ireland, and they will take all their profits from the other European countries to Ireland through patent royalties with a 0% tax on that, and then they either keep it there or move it wherever they want. And that's why Ireland is the largest software exporter in the world.
So again, EGRA did very nice studies on that. Oh, sorry. That's the bug. I don't know that bug. Oof. Sorry. How can I do now? Escape. Oof. It's a strange... Ah, okay. Maybe... Yeah. Here. Yeah. Okay. Now good. So, let's look now at the Ministry of Finance balance. Without software patents, they have to pay examination people to reject patents, and with software
patents, they get fees during 20 years, but they have to pay examination people. And there will be a lot of fiscal losses generated by the techniques I showed before. And then the question is, does patent have enough positive effect on economic growth to compensate the fiscal loss by the economic growth? Because if there is economic growth, companies pay more taxes. So this is how we can look at things. In traditional industry, maybe patents tend to generate enough economic growth to cover the fiscal loss which patents create. But in the software economy, we know that software patents generate no economic growth or negative economic growth on the software economy. So we know that for the Ministry of Finance, having software patents will create tremendous fiscal losses. So 100 euros per patent is something which is easy to achieve in terms of fiscal loss or fiscal gain. This one? Okay. So the Ministry of Finance is like the head owns usually the patent office. If there are no software patents, we have to pay examiners to write letters to say this is not patentable. So we receive 35, we pay 2,000, something like that. The figures don't really matter, and we lose a little bit of money. But if there are patents, I should have removed software at that place, sorry. We receive the fees, we have to pay the examiners, and the fiscal administration doesn't get taxes which it would have got if there were no software patents or if there were no patents. Like when a company does a merger and acquisition, that's the fiscal loss. Because by using a patent, the added value will be taxed at, let's say, 16% instead of 35%. So that's the fiscal loss generated by the fact that the companies use patents not to pay less taxes. But at the same time, if patents are very useful to create more innovation and more competition, maybe we can think that this will create more economic growth. And we know that when there is more economic growth, the fiscal administration receives more money. So when the economy is growing slow, the public budget is not going, is going in the red direction. And if economic growth becomes higher, then the public budget becomes closer to zero, the balanced budget. So that's why if we are in traditional industry and if we consider that patents are good for innovation and for economic growth, maybe patents are also good for the fiscal administration. But in the software industry, where we know that they have no or bad consequences on innovation and competition, then we know that for the fiscal administration, having software patents will only generate fiscal losses. This is the framework. This is just a draft. It should be studied much more carefully. So now about salaries. If I pay myself a lot, which is not the case now, but let's say if I pay myself 5,000 euros a month, that would cost my company 10,000 euros a month, and out of my 5,000, I would have to give 2,500 to the state. So that's a usual ratio of 75% of the money a company makes I am an inventor, I don't need to pay many social spendings, like social security, retirement plan, etc., if I wish. So I can circumvent that very easily. I only have in front, I would only have to pay some people's CFG, which I think 20% less now. So it's a like a reduced fiscal spending, and I can benefit from 16% on my income tax instead of 50. So the ratio, instead of being 75%, is only 35%. So let's become inventors.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's talk about subsidies.
If I go to visit an administration in France, which is supposed to help industry, it's called the Regional Industry and Research and Environment Administration. If I go and I say I do software which is copyrighted, some people will eventually say, sorry, we don't provide subsidies for culture. And if I say I have patents, since patents is only for industrial application, it's easy to get subsidies both from the innovation agency and from the industry agency. So it has a very nice effect on the civil servant in front of me when I say I have a patent. It's much easier to get a subsidy. Sometimes it's compulsory to have a patent to get a subsidy. And filing the patent is subsidized itself 80% of the content. So the Minister of Industry talks about subsidies, but the Minister of Finance, when they talk about subsidies, they talk about fiscal spending, fiscal losses. So that's also something to consider in the balance, in the fiscal balance, the subsidies which more companies will get by having patents. So the conclusion from my point of view is that the proposed directive on software patents will open very nice exemptions for all service activities. So if you, my presentation yesterday showed how it was easy to get a patent for any service activity under the proposed directive. So for those who were not there, I showed a few patents on how to compute the value of a stock or the mean price of goods in a stock. And that is patented in Europe. There are a few hundreds already. So that means if you have a service activity like a professional translation activity, you can patent your way of organizing by patenting a software which mimics your way of organizing. So, and that by using the tricks I showed on the assets, that allows to save taxes. Also, another thing which is interesting is the fact that many activities, like in the big companies, used to be like mechanics, and that allows the big companies to play patent tricks and fiscal optimization by using patents. And now they are paying people to do software. Some people are very worried because they are worried they can't do the kind of fiscal tricks they could do in the past with mechanics. So maybe we don't need complain, and he will say, no, I do not agree, and that will take a year. With the many people having to sign, especially the managers, have to agree on what the guy said. Maybe it's more expensive in terms of examination to reject it, but that's are ways, it's like the first the competition law in the internal market does not apply to fiscal exemption. So the trick when you want to go beyond the maximum limit of subventions is to use fiscal law. And for example, you can't subsidize an SME for more than something like 30%, depending on the zone 15, 25, 23. But if in a country there is a global rule saying that under a decision of the local government, some companies can get some kind of special fiscal exemption, and if that applies to all companies potentially, then that company, it is not considered as a subsidy and is compatible with EU law.
Is there any handle on the number of patents that have been made?
I don't believe Beckerman did the best statistics. And for the rest of the things I know, I can't tell them because these are special cases. I can't name the company. Where they will be located. It's possible to buy.
been further.